This is the 5th of October, 1980, Taos, New Mexico, and we're having a session with Bartholomew. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Good morning.
My question is, I would like you to speak more on living everyone. I've spent my life feeling I was receiving the world instead of projecting it. I wonder if you could talk on what level, who projects?
Is that your question? Who projects the image? Or who lives the totality of life? There are two separate questions. All right.
Let me just say that my confusion comes from feeling that the one self lives all the lives, but yet I see anger and viciousness and many things out there.
And the question is, can the self participate in that?
Right.
Very nice. Thank you very much. By all means. Well, there are various things I would like to respond to, some of which I'm sure people hearing this tape will not approve of, but nevertheless I will take the liberty of going ahead in any case. There is a grand illusion that is perpetuated by some very wise humans, and they perpetuate it through a beautiful sense of wanting to have everything under their control. And this illusion is that somehow you have a separate high self. All right. How many pictures have you seen? There is the little you, then there is the bigger you, and then above that there is the biggest you, and that big you is somehow separate from the person sitting next to you, their big you, you see. Then the question is, are you receiving data from your big you, or are you receiving more of the data than the person sitting next to you from their big you? Do you understand? This idea of a higher self. I know why they do it. I understand the logic behind a higher self. It is a projection, an ongoing continuum of the desire to be separate. I mean, after all, if you have a low self, then it supposes that you have a high self. And then the whole idea is to somehow sit and squash and put under the table your low self and flow into your high self. My friends, how many selves do you have? There is only one self. You do not have a low self, a medium self, and then a high self, and then a super self, and then a vast self, and then an eternal self, and then a... How many are you going to cram into one body? When you look within yourself, do you feel two selves? Or do you just feel a sense of being, a sense of aliveness, a sense of life? Now, your mind will tell you, no doubt, because after all, religion is based on the idea that you have to move on your continuum that you were speaking about from a naughty person to a holy person. I say there is no such thing. I say that if there is any eternalness, if there is any perfection, that it is now. And if it is not now, then you will never find it. So, the first illusion in your mind to drop, if you can, is the idea that somehow you are a worm struggling up this tree trying to become a vast self. All right. When I tell you that you are living all lives simultaneously, I'm telling you two things. When you decide to incarnate on the earth plane, before you even take form here, you make a collective decision to participate in that illusion, and you decide to do it. You say, I choose to entertain the idea of separation because it's such fun. Because if there's me and then there's you, then we can go through this wonderful struggle to become one. And then, if I don't like you, I can have this wonderful feeling of how much better I am than you. all of these wonderful feelings that keep separating, 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 all the way down. But it is a choice you make. It isn't foisted upon you. And this is where I think anger is misplaced against the process. There should be no anger, because it is your choice. What is the purpose of getting angry at yourself because you choose to visit Guadalajara, and it turns out to be a bad experience? Why be angry? Just simply say, it was not a good experience. Or if it is a wonderful experience, so be it. Do you understand? It's this sense of having been foisted upon. The fact is, you choose. Now, when you move into your life and you willingly choose to see separation, when you see through your separated eyes, you are going to see all of the various components of individual self. You cannot help it. When you look through two separated spheres, you are going to see a separated world. This is why I keep saying to you, the only solution to the dilemma is not to change what you're looking at, but to change the point within your being that you perceive from. And if you begin to perceive from the eye within, the single eye, the wonder of life, if we could put it this way, you know, there isn't really an eyeball inside you. This is, someone asked me that one day, and I thought that was a startling concept, that there was somehow one eye, an eyeball in the person that would open and then they would be able to see. It isn't quite the way it is. However, what is true is that there is a force within you that is called life, and that force contains within it the capabilities, if you pay attention to it, of moving you into every created and unmanifested part of the oneness. And why is that? Because it is part of it. When I tell you you are living all lives, I'm answering on two levels. One, if you're participating from the ego, your ego is going to see and be able to respond to and understand and feel connected with all of the egotistical roots. There are not many. Have you observed that? If you really are looking at ego, how many deep roots really are there? You may see them manifest as difference, but basically they are very much the same. And if you can watch what's happening out, so-called outside yourself, and realize that seen from separated eye, you are living and participating in that illusion, because it is a combined illusion. Do you understand? You project out, and at the same time, they're projecting you. It isn't just you projecting them. They're projecting you. This is what complicates it so terribly. You project them, and at the same time, they're projecting you. Those who you pretend to see as separated substance in order to play. There is form there, there is life there, but what is not there, what is never there, is the reality of the separated ego. What is really there, if you see from the eye within, if you've ever had the breakdown of your field of vision, you will see only one thing. You will see energy in motion. That's all you will ever see. And when you see that, when that breaks down and everything is awash in energy and motion, then you will see that all, it is just like looking at a river and seeing shadows play. But if you stand closely and still at that river long enough, you will get deeper and deeper and deeper, and then your vision will stretch out this way, and you will go up and down the river, and then you will go down into the river, and all of a sudden you will find that you are in the river, and that you are not separate from the river. And as you are in this moment in the river, you are also at the end of the river, and that you are at the same time at the beginning of the river, that you are all of that. And the only way to know that is to observe carefully this point. It doesn't help to say, I'm going to look down the river this way, and I'm going to look up the river that way. That does not give you the sense of continuity. When you just simply stand quietly, wondrously in this river, then all of a sudden you begin to know what riverness is all about. And then you expand out into both directions. And then you expand down, and then you expand up. And such it is when you truly decide to make no choice in what you experience. No choice. Life is. If you can stop choosing that one thing, if you can stop choosing, then you no longer need struggle, because it is the choosing that brings about the difficulty. But if you make up your being, not your mind, if you make up your being that says, no more choosing, no choice, I will simply participate boldly, totally, utterly, completely, overwhelmingly. I don't want a bunch of robots being like this, not allowing life. I want wonder. I want awe. I want mystery. I want boldness. I want laughter. I want tears. I want it all. Don't just vote for laughter. You cannot. Because the wonder of laughter is that it posits the tears, and they are wonderful. The agony and the ecstasy together are the wonder of this whole process. And if you can say, I make no differences, I want it all. I want all of life. Give it all. Come on. Bring it on. But we don't say that. We say, bring this on, but keep that away. Living thus, you cannot boldly participate. When you understand the boldness of allowing all of life, then you do not have walls anymore. When those walls drop, you will see that the joy of that man is your joy. You will feel it. It isn't an intellectual thinking. He will smile, and that smile will come, and you will be that smile. It's very hard to talk about this kind of thing, but I will do my best. And you will see a tree moving in the wind, and somehow a part of you will seem to move in the wind. I don't mean that you're going to begin to sway. You will feel it. You will look out to the sun coming up over the mountain, and somehow it will begin to open in you, and you will begin to feel warm. Once you have dropped choice of all kinds, then there is nothing left to resist. Don't you see? The resistance is in choosing. If you have no choice at all, then how can we possibly worry about anything?
One cannot drop choice with the mind.
You don't do anything with the mind. The mind will do whatever it wants to do. And do not be anti-mind. And do not be for mind. Do not be anti-anything or for anything. Just simply be alive. You see, the simplest thing is the hardest thing, which is to simply stay within your being and experience. It's so simple. Just experience.
But you choose to go on a journey, or you choose to be late for your appointment, you choose this, you choose that. How does it play into that?
All right. If you're...
What is the basis of your choice?
There is no choice.
You have chosen to come here, you have decided to come here to have this meeting, correct?
From your perception, that is true. Could I tell you how it is from my perception? From my perception, it is thus. Energies are moving. Energies are always moving. And in one instant in time, they move in such a way, freely, happily, and what manifests is this meeting. You say, we chose to come. I say, in the wondrous movement of all of the energies, this appeared. Choice means that somehow you are pushing things in a certain direction, and that they have to happen because you have chosen them. And I say that your limited mind is doing that. And if you will allow yourself to be brave enough to simply drop that and to begin to put your awareness within and make no choice. See what happens in your life. You see, my friend, the illusion is that you are living life from the ego. The reality is life is living you. If you would once drop the mental construction and let life spontaneously live within you, you will go where life takes you. You will do what life wants. You will do all things from a totally different level. The mind limits you. You see it as choice. The vast energies move, and you move with them. That is the truth. You see yourself as a separate choice, making this choice. And this is why it's so difficult, because from your ideas, yes, you choose. My friend, it isn't really like that. It isn't really like that. And this is where our total dialogue breaks down.
What decides then for you where you go and what you do?
All right. Light and life move together, all right? Now, out of combined movements of one kind or another, there is within what you would call me a knowingness that it is an appropriate movement to extend into this meeting. An appropriate movement to extend into this meeting. If you think that all of my being is in this meeting, you're a mistake. If you think that all of your being is in this meeting, you are mistaken. It is true that a part of you is here, but it is equally true that vast reaches of your being are not here at all.
You have multiple awareness.
No. There's only one awareness. There's, just a moment, there's only one awareness. You have limited yourself to experiencing this moment in awareness. I do not want to do that. I long ago decided that that wasn't as much fun as what I stumbled onto. So now I experience this. At the same moment, I caress that mountain. At the same moment, I float through the vastness. At the same moment, I do many things. And there is not any kind of problem, because there is no limit. You have crammed yourselves into a bottle. It is just like the air that crams itself into a container and just says, the only air in the entire createdness is in this bottle. And the air that's outside it says, how foolish. You are also the air outside that bottle. But because you have chosen to constrict yourself, you can only see yourself in that bottle. Do you understand? It's nothing we can talk about. Don't you see? This is where we're going to get into trouble. You cannot work it with your mind. Your mind will not be able to do it and just drop it. Understand that the instant that you know, you will be in all places and all times, on all levels of awareness. It will be, you will be awareness. You will be awareness. You cannot talk about multitudes of awareness. There is awareness. This is why you live all lives at the same time, past, present, future. There's only one awareness. You pretend that it is separate. There is one. I know that this sounds absolute gibberish, and I agree. You can do it all at once. For example, an illumined person is nothing more than someone who knows that not only are they here, but they are all places at once. That's all they know. They just know everything, that all is one, that they are here, but they are there, and they are there. That all of your frowns tell me that this kind of communication is not going to work. So all I can say is drop the mind and come with me and let's experience it together. Your mind will not do it. And if you start banging it with your mind, you're going to go crazy. The fact remains, you are not what you think you are. You are not the limitation that you have identified. You are not that at all. It is not a lie that you are participating in this life. You are here. Why pretend? But what you are pretending is that this is all that you're participating in, and that is absolutely false. You've made a bad swap. You have abandoned the vastness for the particular. And I'm simply asking you to reverse your choices. I'm not asking you to quit living. I'm asking you to live boldly, totally, completely. That whatever moves within you that you wish to do, that you do it. Whatever it is, do it. And do it boldly, with joy, with life, with aliveness. Fine. Get in trouble. What is so awful about trouble? What is trouble? And who's trouble? And who projects this trouble? You see, he says it lightly, but the fact remains, that is why you choose to limit yourself, because other people have decided for you what you should do and what you should not do. And when you transcend their rules, you are in trouble. What happens if there are no rules? I mean, truly. Why don't we try it? Do you not think you're living in chaos now? Do you call this thing that you're living order and harmony and beauty and joy? Is that what you call it? I think it's time for something new, and I don't think it's just, you know, entirely too late. People are afraid because they feel guilty. And they feel guilty because there is a standard of behavior that has been imposed upon them. And even if they were so fortunate, which is very rare, as to escape it in childhood, believe me, the adult world will make very sure you know the rules. Because nobody in the adult world ever wants to have you transcend their rules. If you start transcending their rules, then they have to make adjustments. And they don't want to make adjustments. They don't want to allow you to do exactly what you wish. Oh, no, because what you wish might in some way pinch their toe.
Is that why we all love the rebel as long as she's not rebelling against us?
Well, there is that sense in you that wants... But you see, rebels aren't any better. If you still think of yourself as a rebel, you're revolting against something. You're either for something or you're against something. Both positions lock you in. A revolutionary is as locked in as a conservative. Why? Because now he has a role. He has certain things he has to do and think and become. I say, no rules, please, none. But everyone in this room would be afraid. If you decided today that you were going to do precisely what you wanted to do, precisely, those in this room that have something to do with you are going to start to shake. Because they'll never know. You'll be utterly unpredictable. And that's what terrifies all of you. Unpredictability. Oh my God, how awful. To have an unpredictable husband, an unpredictable wife, an unpredictable boss, an unpredictable friend. Oh, how awful. You could come home one day and there's nobody there. Or you could go to the bank one day and there's no money. Or you could go out and your car's gone. Or, I mean, any number of things. You go to the hospital, nobody's there. The patients are no longer predictable. Again and again and again, people are unpredictable, and other people say, now, wait a minute. Unpredictability, spontaneity can just go so far, as long as it's fun. But let's not go overboard on this unpredictability. If you are living the life divine, you are going to be totally unpredictable. Why have they looked at the great ones and found them all to be crazy? Because they're totally unpredictable. They will do exactly as they wish. And if they are truly free, then they will choose to do those things that are most likely to upset you. Because inside they say, come on, come with me. Take off your clothes and run in the street. And you say, oh, I can't do that. And so they do it for you. They say, come on. You say, oh, no, I can't. Don't you see? A truly free person doesn't care. You say, I will be incarcerated. And the truly free person says, fine. What's different with that? So we go and be incarcerated. Wonderful. So what's wrong? Don't you see? There are no stops for a truly free person. They say, bring it all on. But because you are so afraid, you know what you're afraid of? Basically, you are afraid that other people will reject you. You behave so that people will accept you. You behave so that people will smile upon you. The problem is that you can never really keep them smiling. Even if you're being the best boy in the world, eventually you're going to do something stupid. And the other person is going to say, naughty boy. And you've lost it all. Do you think they remember all the good points? They now only remember the bad. You cannot win. And so I say, why play when you cannot win? Why not simply do what you want to do? I can just hear people saying, oh, how frightening. I do not think it's frightening. Because if you look very carefully at your lives, basically, my friends, you wait long enough, you're going to do what you want to anyway. If you want to do it badly enough, you will do it. Whatever it might be. Those of you who have gone for freedom, it's going to work. Because basically, you will do what you want to do. And all of the rules are not going to hold you. They are not. The biggest travesty is this male-female business that says, you cannot do this, you must do this, and if you don't do this, then I'm not going to do this, and oh my goodness, it's all going around in a big pool. The fact remains, test it out. You can be the best husband or the best wife in the world, and if your husband or wife eventually says, I've had enough, it doesn't matter what you've done, how good you've been, how devoted you've been, they will say goodbye. Only means that if you really see clearly that you cannot control others by your rules, if you give them the freedom to live without rules, then you will have given yourself the freedom. Don't you see? It's in the giving that you receive. If you say there are no rules, do whatever you want. If it will take you to happiness, if it will take you to a feeling of satisfaction, then do it. If you can hold that rule for everyone you know, lo and behold, who is really freed? They might not be able to do it, but you can, if you have truly given this freedom to others. If you do not give that freedom to others, you will never receive it. But if you really do it, if you really allow them to do and be exactly as they wish to do and be, then you have created within your own mind the right to do what you want. Don't you understand? It's you who has to give yourself the right. No one gives it to you. Someone could say to you, go ahead and do what you want. But inside they're going, don't you dare, don't you dare, don't you dare. If you dare, if you dare. But if you within your own being see that what you really want for others is what they really want for themselves, when you really know that, then you have freed yourself. Then within your world there is no place, but you don't have the courage to go, because there's nowhere that you want other people to perform for you. Don't you see? You perform for each other. You keep going in this dance of performing. You call it love. I call it expediency. Just expediency. It is a mediocre exchange. Just live. What is so hard about that? Just live. If one day the good doctor decides he doesn't want to go to work, and he has 25 patients on his list, and he arises in the morning and he says, nuts! Just nuts! I've looked over this list. No one is going to die if I do not appear tomorrow or this morning. I'm not going. What's going to happen?
Nothing.
In truth, nothing. In truth, if you have spontaneously chosen that, in the wonder of the moment, not against something, understand me, not against something. Being against something is as big a trap as being for something. But out of your being comes this wonder, I'm going to the top of the mountain. I'm going to climb that mountain. Today is the day. I know. I taste it. It's my day. And it's my day with that mountain.
Supposing someone is about to die.
He would know that. You see, if he is truly, don't you understand? You've got to trust. You've got to trust the process, and you don't. Not you, my friend. Just in general, people don't trust the process. If he is looking at this list and going deeply within, he will know. And the other thing he will know is, he isn't the only doctor in the world. And if the other person has a need, it will be met. The divine can be counted on to meet its need. But nobody trusts the process. You think you are doing it, and you are not doing it. If there was a woman on that list that truly needed help and the good doctor could not be there, one of two things would happen. Either someone else would fill in and take care of the need, or, and this is even more outrageous, but please at least think about it as a possibility, the divine energy that usually moves through him in order to heal would simply move without him. Because know this, if the divine energy did not move through him, he could do nothing. It is the illusion that he has to be there. It is an illusion that he has to be there. I know we are traveling far out, but try to go with me. Please, try to flow with me. If healing energy is present in the oneness, and if you did not have this limited idea that a physical form had to transmit it, then each one of you could be well instantly. But your mind has trapped you into believing that it has to go through this apparatus that has had to go through years and years of education in order to do something that is totally, spontaneously natural, which is to heal. It is an illusion. You don't need him. But no doctor's going to tell you that. He'd be broke. No medical professor is going to tell you that. You'd be out of a job. The AMA will never tell you that. It would have to collapse. The fact remains, healing energy washes constantly. And those of you who don't have any money, you don't have to be ill. All you have to do is believe that the energy that flows through him can flow to you directly without a transmitter. And you will be healed. But you don't believe it. So we have this facade that it has to go through him, that you have to take your body to his office, that you have to give him green money, and that he gives you divine energy, and all of this mirage. And the truth is, you can sit down in your living room and say, I haven't got any money. I don't want to get in my car. That's a big bore. I want to get this over with. Please, let's get well. Open up, the energy flows in.
Does that go for anything?
You awaken. Just one more. Do you hear? A continuity, a knowing. Just like that. Someone who's emotionally ill, they say, I have to go to a psychiatrist. I have to pay $75 an hour. I have to go every week for the next 5 years. I don't have enough money. What am I going to do? My choice is to be a mental wreck. Not so. No one needs to be a mental wreck, ever. All you have to do is trust. If you only understood that the healing power that you're seeking, the emotional healing, the mental healing, the physical healing, is not contained in bottles. It is contained in the vastness. And if you could only learn to open up your being, that vastness would begin to move and you would be free all the time. All the time, all the time. My friend, would you restate your question?
Does that then get applied to anything you do?
anything that you have to achieve is done through the healing power of the Chosen God.
My friend, not only is there nothing to achieve, not only is there nothing to achieve, but if there were something to achieve, if there were something to achieve, it would not be done by you. The grand illusion is that you are doing it. Don't you understand? You have it all boxed up. You have decided that humans have to do it. And I tell you this, that without the divine, nothing would be done. Nothing. Nothing, nothing. But your choice, because you like the separation, you like to go to doctors, you like to go to psychiatrists, you like to do this, you like to do that, da-da-da-da, all of these are choices that you make, then you have set the game up. I go back to where we began. When you began this process of living on this earth plane, you said, I choose to see it in separated bottles. But now, partway through, you say, I really am tired of that. These bottles are totally undependable. They just reflect back my own face. When you look at a bottle, you know, it's going to reflect you. It's glass. It will reflect you back. And you say, I'm tired of it. Let's smash these bottles. Let's just get into the essence of things. Let's just move to the essence of things. And now you're in a world of bottles, and you've got to somehow get out. How do you get out? You thought yourself in. You've got to think yourself out. How did you get in there in the first place? You thought yourself in. So think yourself out. What's so hard about that? You don't have to somehow make yourself very small and squeeze through the top of the bottle. You have thought yourself in. When your thinking stops in the quietude, you are going to know what's in that bottle. And you are going to know that the same thing is in that is out, and you're going to know it all. But you've got to quiet down, because your mind is going to continue on with you, and on with you, and on with you. You do not need anything that you do not have, and this is why everything is fair. I'm sorry to have said that, but this is why everything is fair. Someone says, someone is ill, and they don't have any money. That's not fair. The same truth applies to them. Someone is ill. Someone is hungry. Do you really think you need food to live? Do you really think so? Don't you see? Your mind says you have to eat. Countless yogis have proved it throughout history. You don't have to have food to live. You don't. They've proved it again and again and again. You don't need anything, because you are everything. You have bought it, my friends. You've bought the game. What you've bought, you can throw away. You don't have to stay. I don't mean you have to leave life. Life is wonder. Life is wonder. Life is wonder. If your life is not a wonder, it is because you're not looking at it with the wonder of your own being. It's because you have choices. It's because you have things that you like and things that you don't like. It's because you see things that are fair and things that are not fair. It is so simple. Rest in your being and live. And just live it. And allow it. And love it. And join in it. And participate in it. And rejoice in it. And move out into it. And go endlessly out as far as your being can reach. Go! And don't stop. It's a choice. Nothing has to change. Not one iota. Not one. And it's wonderful. Just. the way it is. Just this way. If you look at it from the wonder of your life instead of the limitations of your mind, then the process is wonderful. It's a total reversal. And it takes getting used to. Life is wonderful, precisely as it is. And do you know how you can find it out? Go inside and start feeling life. That's all. There is a power moving within you, and it's called life. Just get in there and feel it. It is wonderful. It is wonder. And I highly recommend it. Other questions?
On Maya, yes. In the Bhagavad Gita, Ramakrishna experience, or I don't know, there's an experience of the infinitude of life. I was wondering if this was the infinitude of all of our lives, or that just all the lives that are being lived, or because I see my life as a just a lot of choices. And if I make a choice, then my life's going to change. And if I don't make that choice, then my life will go on a better path.
My friend. If you look at your life as the actions that you are performing, then it is never going to make sense. That is not what life is. Life is not the actions that you are performing. Life is the power that moves you to act. You are a particle of dust in the air moving. You say, I am moving. Look at me. How wonderful. I am moving. And I say, without the power of the wind, you would go nowhere and do no thing. Who is moving? Life moves. Actions are not life. Will you please try to understand that? This is why there is no guilt. This is why there is no blame. This is why it doesn't matter. Because life is boundlessly, wondrously moving. And certain actions are performed. You call some good, some bad. I say, that's your problem. Actions go on. But the fact is that life moves with boldness. Life is moving. When I tell you that the same life is moving through all of you in this instant in time, it is the truth. It isn't like a sieve, you know, drooling down from heaven with little dripples for each one of you, separate and special and wonderful. There is no such cosmic sieve, really. There's only the wonder of bold movement. And that's what I beg you to participate in. Where does the joy of life come? But from that boldness, not fear. If you have a teacher, a spiritual teacher, and if you are afraid of him or her, get them out of your life. And if anyone is afraid of me for any reason, get me out of their life. Nothing to do with fear. So, I won't belabor, but if you want to look at your life as a series of actions, then choices are very important. But don't you see how foolish it is for the bubble on the river to be saying, I'm going to make a choice, and therefore this whole river, this entire river now, is going to flow in the direction of my choice. Don't you understand? The bubble thinks it chooses. The river flows endlessly, wondrously, dynamically, excitedly, mysteriously along. Choose to pretend that you make choices, or choose to feel life choosing, not even choosing, life moving. You like to think you make choices. Why? It's very important if you make choices. Look how important you are if you make choices. That's wonderful how important you are. Fine. Feel important, but there's something much more wonderful to feel, which is one with life. I cannot tell you the wonder of that. The choiceless life. Does that mean the choiceless life sits like this, terrified? The choiceless life just moves because it knows that A, X, Y doesn't matter. Life moves. Life moves. The energies flow. They come. They flow. Some energies are with you for a while. They move. So what? Another energy flows in. Wonderful. It's a new energy. How wonderful. And then it goes. And then another one comes. And how wonderful. It's a wonder. A multitudinous wonder of oneness that changes its face all the time. And if you're addicted to one face, then you're going to be lonely when that one face goes. But if you can only understand that when one face goes, there's always another one, a wonderful one. Life is always there, changing its faces for you. Don't be addicted to one face, of your own or anyone else. Be addicted to life if you have to be addicted to something. Be addicted to the movement of it, the wonder of it. That's all I say. If you can just taste the wonder of life, you're not going to care what faces are there. And then you begin to trust that wonderful face of the allness. And then boldness comes. Total boldness. How many of you would like to live like that, boldly? No fears, no guilt, no yesterdays, just now. I vote for that. I vote for that. It's so much more wonderful. So, if you want to be friends to each other, allow yourselves that. Get your courage together and say, I boldly declare you can do any damn thing you want to do, and I will support you in it. And I will watch myself in the wonder of it. When you learn that there's nothing to hurt you, then you become free. You see, you really think that you can hurt each other, and it's not true. It is impossible to hurt one another. It is impossible. And if you once know that, then you are no longer afraid. Because you're afraid of two things. You're afraid, one, of hurting others. Because why? Not because you're so holy, but you're terrified that God is going to spank you if you hurt someone. And the other part of it is, you just are afraid of being hurt. Somehow, if somebody is going to hurt you, this is going to destroy you. Destroy life? It isn't possible. It isn't possible to destroy life. How are you going to hurt life? How? Understand. Free it up. Let it go. Let it all go. Finished. Just get inside and feel the boldness of life. Oh, I've gone on too long. I'm on subject. So, are there other things that we could do? Yes, my friend.
About a year ago, Marion told me that I would be involved with you in this group. And she didn't know in what capacity or why. I'm really curious.
In the boldness of time, it would be clear to you. In the boldness of movement of energy, it will all be clear to you. That is my tactful way of saying now is not the time. That when the rivers flow at the right time, movement happens. And you'll see. And we'll know. The problem with predictions are sometimes they materialize and sometimes they do not. But one thing is true. If we have done our job well this morning together, then we are already participating in a connectedness that may never materialize in action, but will always be there within our combined awareness. Do you understand me? This is something people must begin to know. This is why I disapprove of the talk of higher self. This is why I disapprove of the talk of masters. Because if you have Master A, and someone else has Master C, and somebody else has Master G, then in their minds, they are separated into different groups, like blood types. And some blood types don't blend with other blood types. There is no such thing as a cosmic blood type. And this is why masters divide instead of unify. And this is why I'm only in favor of one master, which is your own within. And through your connection with your own vastness, you will always be one with every other field of vastness and could never be separated. But if we are going to split it off and have little masters with ashrams and so forth all up into the cosmic heavens, how far are we going to go? We might as well deal with the separation right here, the separation that we can easily see. Because I tell you this, that if you once see that this is no separation, then the game is over. People who don't like to see separation in the world decide, well, that's all right. Somehow I'll work it out, but what I'm going to do now is to project all of this into the next level. Now I'm going to have separation up there. I have to have my teacher. Would it surprise you to know there's only one teacher? There's only one teacher. We can talk as many ways as we want, and they're all lies. There's only one teacher. And that is you. And any so-called other who tells you differently is wrong. And everything you need to know, and everything that you need to understand, is recorded within you, and you can find it. And that is really all I ever have to say. The illusion that someone knows better than you about you is totally wrong. It makes people have a lot of fun, especially for the first person doing the teaching. If you think that I'm saying anything that is not of you, you are mistaken. There is no me and there is no you. There is simply energy moving. That's all. One of us seems to speak, the other seems to hear. Where does your hearing end? Where does my speaking begin? Not like that, you see. But the confusion is created because of the bottles. Get rid of the bottles, and everything is clear. You know, you can. You can. Get rid of that bottle. You can.
Can I go back to an earlier point?
Please do. You are so good for me. Yes.
If we have misidentified a concept of choice, if we've misidentified with a misconception of choice, and we have misidentified with a misconception of action, which apparently we have created these misconceptions, then we have also created the misconception of responsibility for these alleged actions. And so we've created the notion of karma that we're so uptight about.
Very good. Karma is karmic. Karma is karmic. Karma is karmic. It's very difficult for a paraplegic to believe that. But it is true. Karma is karmic. Yes, you've created it all. Don't you understand? You've created it because...
We thought this would be fun.
Yes. But you see, the reason you thought it was fun, because there are times when it seems to be fun. Truly. I mean, let's be fair. Sometimes it's great fun. Great fun.
Why did you create it?
Because you wanted to. Don't you understand? Anything that you have created, you can now abandon. That's the only reason you can get out of the bottle. If God had crammed you in the bottle, you'll have to sit in that bottle and wait till he hauls you out. And he may have forgotten about you. You know, all these billions and billions of entities, he might forget about you. So you have to sit there. And even worse, you might have to sit and wait for a master to haul you out. Don't you understand what you've done? You cram yourself in a bottle, then you say, I got myself in, but somebody has to come and get me out. Please, let's be reasonable. If you got yourself in, you can get yourself out. You don't believe you got yourself in. If you believe that, then you could believe you can get out. But guess who got you in according to your doctrines? God got you in. Big, bad God crammed you in this bottle, and you've got to suffer. And you tell me that that is the kind of a God that you're going to love? I say, if you do, you have very bad taste in gods. I want nothing to do with that kind of God that crams you in a bottle and says, stay there, like the genie, these wonderful stories, stay there until I remember to come and get you. They be lifetimes and lifetimes, millions, oh, listen to the Hindus, millions of lives you've lived in that bottle, and I've forgotten all about you. Please, please, be logical, if nothing else. If you would only take the power of your mind and put it directly, single-pointedly, on the problem of your own existence, you would solve the riddle, because it's very clear. But instead of taking it as a serious proposition that you have within yourself the capacity and the ability to totally understand who you are, you keep asking other people to explain. How can they explain? They don't know any better than you do. So you say, all right, I will find some enlightened one and they will tell me. Don't.
How did the grief of God get in here? The other week I asked the question about the mind being the past. And it really isn't the tool that
you. All right.
And you said the grace of God comes in.
Do you know what the grace of God is? The grace of God is life. The grace of God isn't something that comes and goes, because, you see, again, religion has put you in a box. Religion says to you that the grace of God will only descend under certain circumstances. And the problem with that is that certain religions have different circumstances. So which circumstances are you going to follow? But even if you do begin to follow, you're going to follow imperfectly, because guess what? Egos are imperfect. So therefore, you're going to be imperfect whatever you do. So you are never going to think yourself in a state where grace can descend. All right, so you go through this wonderful mess. My answer to you is this. The grace of God is life that flows constantly through you. That is the grace of God. The grace of God is that God is. And the other grace of God is that God is everywhere, at all times, and in all places, with equal power. It is not possible for God to be a little drop in you and a vast ocean in someone else. Either God is or he isn't. Either that power exists or it does not. The grace of God is nothing more than the boldness of life moving through you. And the reason that we speak in these terms is that many people believe in the grace of God. And they devote themselves to a life of seeking the grace of God. And so we speak to wherever we can touch. But if you wish for the highest truth, I will tell you that the grace of God is nothing more than yourself. And you don't have to earn it. And you don't have to wait for it. And you don't have to pray for it. And you don't have to bargain for it. And you don't have to contract for it. You simply have to participate in it because it's already there. And it's already living you. And you just haven't paid attention. Don't you understand? We always end up where we began. Where is your awareness? If your awareness is deeply within in the boldness of called the beingness of yourself, then you know the trick. It's just a trick. It's a mental trick. Get out of it. It's not hard. You spend all of your life out. Now go in. Now go in. Out isn't going to help. In solves everything. When I talk about the boldness of life, don't you feel it? Can you feel it? When we direct our attention to the boldness of life within your being, can you feel it? Or is it just an illusion? Can you feel it? It is there. We can't talk about it. We can't dissect it. We can only experience it. And at any moment, under any circumstances, under any extremity, the boldness is there. And the centered person is one who lives in the boldness of their being instead of the periphery of their anxiety. Yes, my friend?
I'm afraid to use this word purpose, but...
Fine.
If there is a purpose, that the purpose is just to do it, whatever it is.
It doesn't... It's not even that, although that is one step. It's even simpler than that. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes, and that's why, yes, I agree with you. It is a step that is graspable. But even that one has to fall because you know, there's only one job you have in life. There's only one job you have. And that is to sit within yourself. And feel the life. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be anybody. Just feel it. Embrace it. And then if you feel like doing, do. If you feel like not doing, then not do. It doesn't matter what you do. What does matter is, what are you aware of? It is so utterly simple and natural that it's the last thing you think of. When you find yourself in an extremity, what's the first thing you think? How am I going to get out of this? I would like to suggest the opposite of just suggesting, let's just rest in this. Let's just rest in this. Not rushing around trying to change, patch up fences. Don't you know you spend all of your time sticking scotch tape on your ego to bind it up, to make it feel better? Somebody sticks a hole in your ego and you rush to put Band-Aid on it. Somebody hurts your feelings. Somebody doesn't do what you want. Somebody calls you a fool. Somebody says you're ugly. Somebody says you're stupid. Somebody says. What do you care? Somebody says, so what? It doesn't matter. And if you were really looking, you would see that instead of putting a Band-Aid on it, let it be. There isn't anything to do. And once you quit worrying about putting the Band-Aids on, things don't hurt anymore. Because your awareness pushes into that hole. Don't you know what you do to yourself? If you have a problem and you put your awareness there, guess what happens to that problem? It gets larger and larger and larger, and then it takes up all of your time, and it takes up all of your mind, and then it takes up your whole existence around one silly little problem. I tell you this, there are no problems, and therefore there are no solutions. There are only Band-Aids. That is all. That is it. Nothing else, nothing more. Understand. Nothing more. So forget the Band-Aid. Life can be trusted. Absolutely, totally, continuously trusted. Try it and see. When you create a work of art, you know that. An unknown wonder takes place. But then you move from that realm to the other realms of relating, relationships, people, talk, ideas, and the wonder of spontaneity goes. Just stay in that wonder. And don't be afraid. You're all afraid. If the world doesn't love you, you're going to suffer. It's just not true. So, I've gone on long enough, but I'd like to thank all of you for coming. Some of you have come a long way, and I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Bartholomew.